Heavenly Father, we praise you for your blessings upon us, showers of blessing we need. We thank you for the rain. Thank you that it provides for all of us. We need it. Without the rain, we perish physically. Without the raining of your Holy Spirit working, flowing through us, that living water that we all have as believers, without that flowing through freely, we need that. We need that happening, and we need the move of your Spirit among us. Father, we pray for revival in our land. We pray for revival for us here. We pray for your Spirit to move in our hearts. Father, you know that we're very capable of self-deception and of thinking things are okay when they're not. And so we pray that if for any of us here today who are we're believers, we're following you, but there's something not quite right that needs to be shown, that we might get this right with you, confess that sin, turn from it, and see the blessings, the showers that you want to bring that can be hindered by that, if that's happening. And Father, if that's not occurring, we praise you for that and pray that we would just continue on the walk with you, walking with the Spirit, in the Spirit, seeing him move powerfully from each of our lives. Father, we know you love us. We know that you love the world. We know that Jesus died and rose again to pay the price for everyone's sin, that whoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. We pray that if any here are not yet saved, that they would understand that message and that call from Jesus, and that they would respond to him and trust in him as their Savior. Thank you that this is the Sunday where we are remembering the Lord's table, and we praise you for the honor and the privilege to do that. We pray that we would do it with reverence, with worship, that we would recognize the meaning of these symbols, the body and blood of Jesus, as we remember what he gave for us on that day. Father, we pray that in this hour, all that is done would bring honor and glory to your name, to the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. May the Holy Spirit's work and ministry be fulfilled in full in each of our lives and hearts today. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Chapter 9, Matthew chapter 9, and beginning at verse 35, reading down through chapter 10, verse 15. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is great, plenteous rather, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother, John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy. and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into our house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Let's have a word of prayer together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much that we can gather on this rainy Sunday morning. Praise you for all your goodness and grace to us. We thank you, Lord, that we have this wonderful house of worship that we can come to and that you have provided for us. We thank you for your people, for their faithfulness, and we pray that you'd help each one of us to walk in righteousness and truth before you and do your will in all things. Father, we do want to bring before you especially this distribution in Reading on tomorrow and the next 2 days. And we pray that you will bless the Gideons and all the work that they're doing. We just thank you so much that they are giving out your word so faithfully. And we pray that you will use them in a mighty way to reach many with the truth of the gospel. We just praise you, Lord, that you have provided salvation for all who will believe. And we pray that many in the city of Reading will come to know you in personal faith through the distribution of the scriptures and other materials that will help them to understand the Word of God. We do pray, our Father, too, for the Ziegler family. We pray that you'll undertake for them and comfort their hearts in this time of their loss, and pray that you will bless Mrs. Ziegler especially and undertake for her in every way. Lord, we do pray for those who are ill. We ask you to undertake for them. We know that you're able to help them, comfort them, strengthen them, and we pray that you'll do that. Lord, we look to you and we just praise you for all your grace and mercy and love to us today. Bless your word to our hearts today and help us to truly love you and serve you in the way that we need to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's look at Matthew chapter 9 once again. We see here in this portion that Jesus is going about the various cities and towns, villages, teaching wherever he went, and this was in Galilee. Now we know this because there's a parallel passage over in Mark, so just hold your place there, and let's look at Mark chapter 6, and where it speaks there about Jesus coming to Nazareth. You remember Jesus was raised in Nazareth from the time that he was very small, and everyone there knew him. And so there were two times when Jesus went back to Nazareth, that's recorded at least in the Gospels. And the first one was in Luke chapter 4, it speaks of him there visiting the people, and here in Mark chapter 6. So let's read this first portion here, beginning at verse 1. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. So I believe this is in the same category that we read in Matthew, where he was going about speaking in all the other places. Apparently he started at Nazareth, went back home again, no doubt, to visit the people that he knew there and everything, and then on the Sabbath day went into the synagogue to teach and to bring them the message of God's word. And here we find what happened. They recognized who he was, of course. They knew him from the time that he was very small. He grew up there, and they recognize him. But they are flabbergasted at the thought that he could actually speak the way he did and do the things that he did, all of the miracles. They did not understand who he was. And so he spoke. He said, "Wait a minute, who is this speaking? Isn't he the one that used to be the carpenter here with his father, Joseph, wasn't it? Started to say Jacob. Joseph, yes. And we know him, yes. And all of his family's here." Notice Jesus came from a large family. My goodness, there's quite a few here. 1, 2, 3, 4 sons and more than one sister that they had there in the family. Not sons, brothers, actually. But anyhow, we find here they knew who he was. And yet they were not able to accept him for who he really was. You see? They thought they knew him, but they did not. Because he was someone altogether different, who had always been from eternity past and had come to this point. So as he preached, they were offended. They didn't like what he had to say. You know, do we like what Jesus says? You know, it makes you wonder sometimes, some of the things that he said might offend someone, right? And sometimes we don't quite understand some of the sayings that he said. The first will be last and the last will be first, okay? What in the world does that mean, right? And all kinds of statements that Jesus would make from time to time. And these people couldn't understand him. And he even tells them here, he says, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house." He says, "So I know you're not going to accept what I have to say, but I'm going to say it anyway," right? And so here, these people listened intently, and yet they did not believe who he really was. Now, they started at Nazareth, and so it says here at the end that he could do no mighty work. Now, this is Jesus. He could do no mighty work there in Nazareth. Why? He says it in the next verse. Because of their unbelief. You see? Jesus was able to do mighty miracles, but many times it depended upon the faith of the person that he was helping or someone else. We saw recently the four men that brought in the man with palsy, you remember? He, when he saw their faith, you see. And other times it was the faith of this woman that touched the hem of his garment. Or something like that. But there was faith involved. And here it says he could do no mighty works because of unbelief. We sometimes, I think, hinder the work of God because we do not believe. You see, you have to have faith in order for things to be accomplished. And so that's one of the main lessons that we find here. And it was a shame to think that in the very place where Jesus should have been the most well known, he was not accepted, and he could do no great work there. So they're the ones that lost out, didn't they? He went to other places and healed everybody in the whole village or something. And then here in Nazareth, he couldn't do that. because they did not believe. So, you know, our faith, and I mean, of course, God can do whatever he wants to do. You know, it's kind of makes you wonder sometimes about this, but he limits himself to accomplish things that we believe can happen. So it's God limiting himself. It's not that he can't do it. Jesus could have done whatever he pleased, but he chose to act according to their belief. And according to the rest of the scriptures, he still does that today. We are hindered when we do not believe what God has ordained for us to do. So, he says, according to your faith, be it unto you. By grace you're saved through faith. According to your faith, be it unto you. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Okay, so faith is so important. Now, we have to notice in the Gospels, we are in a different dispensation than we are here, right? Today we're in the church age, and we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He died for us on the cross, rose again the third day, and we are saved through faith in him, believing in him. Now, when Jesus was here walking on the earth, he came first of all to the Jewish people, right? And that's what it says here in the scripture that we read earlier. Don't go to the Gentiles, don't go to the Samaritans, go to the house of Israel. This was their mission that he gave to the disciples. You remember he had chosen these 12 disciples and taught them many things. They were together all the time for some 3 years, 3.5 years. And he spent a great deal of time with them, instructing them and teaching them many things, showing them by his actions, by his miracles, the great things, and then giving them the power to go out and do the same thing. But Jesus here is working in a certain way during that period of time. That's something we have to keep in mind, right? And it's very obvious. He came as the king of Israel, first of all. And then it developed from there, and God is still carrying out his plan today, right? But we have to understand that. He says here back here in, he's challenging his disciples in a certain way before he sends them out into the mission field, into the work that he's doing there in the land of Israel. So because Nazareth did not accept him, he went out to other places, and he was planning to do that anyway eventually. Went about all the cities. This is itinerant evangelism, if you will, in the message that he had for them, that he was the king who had come to rule over them. And so he's sending out his disciples here to do that. But there's four challenges here that he gives to them. First of all, the challenge to prepare. As he went from place to place, he taught his disciples, and they were there to see exactly what was happening so that they could go out and do the work that he had given them to do. And, you know, we can learn a great deal from seeing what the scriptures tell us that went on in the New Testament through Jesus and through his apostles. And as I said here, this was a special mission to the Jewish people, but now we have a mission to the world, right? Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. So today we are reaching out to people around the world, and he says you have to be prepared to give them the message and to go wherever he would send them. So they had to leave their families, their homes. They had to go out and leave their work and devote themselves to this to this task. And we, of course, have missionaries today that do the same thing, going out to the ends of the earth. I was just watching, got a new video. I will show it one of these days. Anyway, it's to the ends of the earth. It's about Missionary Aviation Fellowship, and especially their mission going into Papua New Guinea, over there where those people, you know, they can't have anything. They go in with the airplanes and are able to help them and give them the gospel of Christ. And now many of them have come to Christ, and there's a great work going on over there with this mission. But it saves so much time. Today they have the airplanes that they can just go in 30 minutes, something that used to take, you know, 2 weeks to get through the jungles and all of this. And it's amazing. I forget how many it was, but there's hundreds of languages right there in that one little area where they, you know. So it's really a challenge for the missionaries. But anyway, getting back to our story, we have here Jesus going about and showing the disciples how to prepare for their mission. And these were the men that he had chosen, a special apostles. Notice it says here in one place, in chapter 10, verse 1, it says, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples. Okay? And then in verse 2, he says, now the names of the 12 apostles were these. So a disciple is someone who is learning. They spent 3 years with Jesus learning what they needed to do as disciples. And then he sent them out as apostles to spread the word throughout the nation. So that's the difference. A disciple is one who learns. An apostle is one who goes. Now today we don't have apostles in the same sense as they had in the New Testament. The missionaries that go out today don't have the power, unfortunately, to heal diseases. I mean, they do through medicine and things. But God uses that. And they don't have the power to know all these languages. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Huh? If we could all just talk to each other wherever we are, you know. But it takes a great deal of effort today to do that. And yet, this is something that we have to prepare to do. I know when we first went to Italy, you know, I didn't know anything about the Italians. I just felt the Lord leading us that way. And yet we had to go to school for a year there to learn the language. And of course, we didn't learn the language, but anyway, we got started on it. And it was interesting, very interesting. The professor got up the first time we went to class, and he says, "Questa è una penna. Questa è una penna." We thought he was going pointing at something, you know. He was saying, "This is a pen." You know, then and it was wonderful to learn the language and be able to do some ministry there in that land. But it takes a great deal. And these apostles, they had an advantage because they... God gave them the ability to learn the languages, to speak the languages without even learning them, and also to be able to heal and so forth. So Jesus taught them what to do to prepare to go. And then he taught them to care for others. Now you see here in verse 36 of chapter 9, and Jesus says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." Jesus demonstrated by his own life what compassion and love was. You see, he saw them, they in their weakened condition, not knowing who he was, and it gripped his heart. to see these people that did not have any worthwhile ambitions or anything especially to look forward to. He was moved with compassion because they fainted. See? And they were scattered, just like the sheep with no shepherds. So Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Yeah. He came to give his life for the sheep. And he came to lead us as the shepherd today. So we look to him. But he showed his compassion. And you know, it's wonderful to realize how much God loves us, right? You know, we talk about that a great deal, and I think rightly so. But we need to realize the compassion that Jesus had for the multitudes is the compassion he wants us to have for other people. Right. He was teaching these disciples. He chose them, took them with him, and he demonstrated to them the compassion and love that they need to reach people with the gospel. And we have that obligation to love one another and to love our enemies, to love those that we reach out for, and to truly do whatever we can to reach them with the gospel of Christ. Compassion. He was teaching them to care. And that those who are unsaved today, I think of it, might become Christians. They might know the Lord Jesus and have salvation. You know, but we have to care for people. Sometimes, you know, it's not easy to care for some people. You know anybody like that? Well, he says, Jesus came as the perfect Son of God who never made a mistake in his life, never did anything wrong, and yet he saw these other people that were doing everything wrong, and yet he loved them. You know, as God looks down from heaven on us tonight, what is the matter with me? I'm turned around. Anyway, this morning, what's his attitude? What do you think his attitude is toward us as he sees us here this morning? According to the scriptures, it says he loves us, right? He cares for us, and he leads us, and he guides us, and he helps us in so many ways. And that's what he's saying here. Because of his great love and compassion for poor sinners, Jesus came. And then he said to his disciples, verse 37, notice, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. He says, we don't have enough workers. And but there's much work that needs to be done. These people, they all need to come and put their faith and trust in the Lord. And the harvest is plenteous. We know that. All over the world. But the laborers are few. And these 12 men that Jesus had chosen, these are the laborers that he had at that time that he's getting ready to send out, you see. And so he is teaching them to care and then to share, to reach out to those that need to hear the gospel. As I said, they were reaching Israel. This was the mission that he had given to them. Today we have a mission to reach the world. And that's a formidable task to perform. But the laborers are few. He says we need more people that are willing to go out and to reach out to people. I have here Philippians 2:21. Let's see what that is. Philippians 2:21. Next one. Oh, yeah, the laborers are few. Most people are concerned about themselves and not about others. And here Paul is writing this and talking about Timothy and how he is one that he can trust to go out with the gospel. And in verse 19, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man, no one else, like-minded, who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. So here he's saying, you know, most people just want to do their own thing, right? Most of us just want to have a comfortable life. But he says, no, we need laborers that are willing to go out of their way to do the work that God has given them to do. Very few are interested in reaching out to others. They just don't think about it. You know, we all, it's easy to just go through life thinking about, you know, your own business, the work that you have to do, and your own family, your own life. And those things are important, right? It's not something that we need to eliminate. We need to take care of our business, our lives, and all that we're doing. But at the same time, we need to be thinking of others and sharing the Word of God with them, sharing the gospel with them as we have opportunity. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. No. You're not a preacher. Well, you should be. You should be a preacher. Because each and every one of us that know the Word of God are responsible to tell others, right? Whoever you may be. And each one of us has our part to play in this. And Jesus is teaching his disciples. These are men that he had chosen for a special task. And now he's teaching them to share with others. We are his disciples today, aren't we? We call ourselves followers of Jesus. Well, it makes you wonder. But anyway, we need to be challenged to follow him in whatever way he would lead us. And the first thing he mentions here is the challenge to prayer. In verse 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So he's saying to these disciples, you know, we need laborers. We only have a few. And they need to go out and reach others. So what are you to do? Pray the Lord of the harvest. He's the one who's in charge, right? At this particular time, we're talking about Israel, but we can apply that to today, right? The Lord of the harvest is the one who's in charge of sending out the workers, wherever that may be. Just be next door, across the street. Wherever. But he says, for you to pray to the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And then, who are these laborers? You find the very next verse, it says, he called his disciples and he sent them out. Right? So the very ones he's talking here to are the people. He's saying, pray for these laborers to go out, and then he sends some of the very same ones to do the work. It's usually the people who understand the love and compassion of Christ and his call to service that we are the ones who go out and serve him. And he says, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And then he sent the very same ones out. And, you know, you have to be careful what you pray for. Sometimes, you know, when we pray for certain things, God says, okay, you're the one, right? You know, you pray for somebody. So, you know, I've heard this story before. I think they said it about Pastor Rain. You know, someone came up to him and said, hey, you know, I don't know what his name was, John Smith? He needs to get saved. Would you go talk to him? He said, no, why don't you go? You know, if you have somebody, the Lord puts somebody on your heart, you know, that needs to be saved or needs to help, whatever it is, needs to have something to eat, whatever your gift may be to give, he says, you do it. You know, he speaks to each of us individually. Isn't that great? When we pray, the Lord speaks to us, right? And then we can speak to others or help others in whatever way we can in doing the work that he has called us to do. And we need to do that while we have the opportunity before it's too late. We need to pray definitely and continually for those who are on the front lines, the missionaries. We do pray for them. I think every week we have a special prayer for the missionaries. And we need to do that, that God might reach out to people around the world with the gospel. It's important to do that. We saw this morning, Sunday school, right? All that great multitude that's going to come up out of the tribulation time. Those who were reached with the gospel of Christ, those who had washed their garments in the blood of the Lord Jesus, and had eternal life because these disciples went and told them the truth. Someday, it'll be too late, as we know. The day is coming when we'll no longer be able to do that. I have a verse here in John 4. John 4 and verse 35. Jesus rebuked him, saying, wait a minute, what am I reading? John 4, 35, I've got. Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out of him. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. So here we find that while it's time, Jesus was going about proclaiming the word and setting these people free from their demons and all the rest. And we should make sure that we use the time that God has given to us to reach out to those around us. There's a verse over in Jeremiah 8:20. It says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. So the time is coming when we will no longer be able to serve. And here, we should use that opportunity that God has given to us to reach out to others in their time of need. So the Lord was preparing his disciples, sending them out, giving them compassion and concern for others, to share the gospel at that time with those people, and then to pray that more could be done. And certainly we can take some applications from that. Time is short. We need to do all that we can to reach people while we have the opportunity. Dear Father, we thank you this morning for your word to our hearts and for this illustration that we see in the life of Jesus and the disciples and how that speaks to us today. We just pray that you will help us to reach out to others as we have opportunity, and that we might dedicate ourselves to spreading the gospel to all those who need to hear it. And Lord, we do pray for the missionaries. We pray that you'll bless them abundantly and all the work that they are doing, that they might be able to see souls come to Christ throughout the entire world. Lord, we just praise you and thank you for all your goodness to us. Ask you to guide and help us now as we celebrate or commemorate the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, O Lord, that you will speak to each one of our hearts and draw us closer to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.